by the hour.
So I says to myself, other self, you should think about a synergy shop on Minium. Why would I do that, self? Because it's a big shop that only lacks our imagination. Self says, is there room for our trucks, toys, tools, boats, and business? Come on, pard. We customize it ourselves. Okay, says. So what do we do now? Look, me. Just call Donna Garland, that Sheraton Realty Associate, and ask about Synergy Shop of Minions. Okay, boss. But if she asks, I'm telling her you made me do it.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No run around, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Flood insurance is one of those things most people don't think about until it's too late. And then by then, the damage is done. What many homeowners don't realize is that standard policies don't cover flood damage, even when it's caused by heavy rain, snowmelt, or water that comes from places you wouldn't expect. They take the time to help you understand your actual risk and walk you through flood coverage options that make sense for your home and your location, not just a one-size-fits-all policy. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Stop by or request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, April 7th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by UCross Artist Residency Communications Associate, Emmy Whiting, and joining us by phone is University of Oklahoma Professor Marwin Begay. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yeah, they have been. Good morning.
Professor, we are very honored to have you on the show with us this morning. I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join us. Emmy, how are things out at UCross?
You know, it's been great, especially since we had that snowfall on Friday.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it changed the environment. Now everything looks so green, so we really needed that.
That's got to be great for the artists, though, to an extent. First off, they come from all over the place. Some of them, you know, may not experience snow the way that we do. And so to have that available to walk out mm-hmm. and look at that beautiful blanket on the land, and then...
And then it's gone the next day. I was like, they are getting the range this time.
Great inspiration. Two beautiful landscapes in one visit. I think it's absolutely amazing. And speaking of artists, Professor, I ask this of all the artists that come on the show. Sir, when did you know that you wanted to be an artist? Was there someone in your life? Was there an event?
I always say, and kind of a joking way, but I'm not. I always knew that I was an artist when I was in my mama's belly. You know? And art has been just all around through my whole life. I come from a long generations of weavers, jewelry makers, and just practitioners, you know, in a weirder sense of the way of like we lived out in the country, and the countryside is much like where UCross is located, right? Just very harsh winters and far from town, and you know, my family would take old signs that, you know, road signs, and kind of build stuff out of them. And, you know, and that was kind of my introduction to abstract art, right? Because there's like a quarter of the words and, you know, different things peeling off. And, you know, now that I look back upon that, I would, you know, that was my exposure to abstract art. But, you know, being around art all the time, is what I remember. So I, at an early age, that I kind of knew that I wanted to be an artist. And then also what influenced that was that as a kid, I grew up with a speech impediment. And so I had to find another way to communicate.
Wow.
And so I used art as a way to communicate my ideas and what I was thinking to my family. And it after that, it just continued to evolve.
And was there ever a time looking back on your childhood where you made something completely by yourself, where you were able to stand back, look at it and say, oh my goodness, I did this. I know what I wanted to.
I think I still do that. And art was encouraged as I was growing up, and it was a way for me to, like I said earlier, to find my voice and to find, and so, I think through that little bit of finding a way to communicate, you know, that was a way to, you know, I always did that. I was like, whoa. And probably it goes back to that first, the first time that I did that they understood what I was trying to communicate.
Yeah. They could feel it.
And yeah. And then after that, it was just like, it's like every time I make work now, I'm always surprised that I did something. So anyway,
I think, you know, it might not be something that a lot of artists talk about, but I do believe that every once in a while, every single artist creates something and they're like, oh my goodness, I did that. That's a good job. Is there a particular medium in which your work primarily takes? Is there something that you enjoy to work with more than others?
I really enjoy printmaking, you know, and because of these are the reasons why I really enjoy printmaking. Like every project is different. There's a different, it really challenges me to think about solutions, right? So, you know, there's, I think I've tried the other processes and there's like a formula that you can create and you can go by that formula. But for printmaking is like, you're dealing with the surface of wood, you're dealing with the surface of glass, plexiglass, you know, and where you do it is really challenging as well. Is like if you do it there at U-Cross, it's, you know, sometimes it could be really dry. And so you have to adapt to the place. And if do it on the East Coast, it becomes really humid. And so, and all of these little things kind of change the supplies that you are using. So, and that's why I really love it, is that it's always challenging me to, think of new ways of doing that process. You know, and I'm not saying anything bad about any of the other processes, but I'm, you know, printmaking just kind of sticks out to me the most because of that challenge. And also, why I love it is that there's a lot of collaboration that happens, and, you know, and working in the studio, you're always social. So it's, you know, that's, I am not an introvert at all.
My wife's a printmaker, and I've seen that some of the challenges that she's had to overcome. I just think it's fascinating that printmakers
You know, a lot of people don't think, oh, artists are problem solvers. But then you see a process like printmaking and suddenly realize artists have got to be problem solvers. There's, you know, you meet this challenge and you got to come up with creative new ways to work around that. If someone out in our audience right now had never seen printmaking or seen your artistic style, how would you describe that to them?
You know, more than likely they, I have no idea. Okay. You see printmaking a lot through, I don't know if, and the reason why I'm so hesitant to say is that everyone has switched over to the digital currency.
Yes. Yeah.
But in the older generation, they see it all the time on dollar bills, and they see those engravings that are of the presidents. And now you also see it in like foods, right? That style, like the canned food labels. And you know, there's so much out there and their t-shirts, right? That's a form of printmaking.
Yeah, screen printing.
Yeah.
Shirts. And you know, some of the street signs are screen printed. You know, the highway signs are screen printed as well. So there's these daily contact. There's a daily contact that is made by one of the processes of printmaking.
And it is kind of a dying medium, isn't it? Maybe not dying sense of artists, but dying in the sense of wide use.
It is, and it's just, you know, it's competing with the digital world, but also printmaking has evolved into the digital world as well. But I think the idea of printmaking is a lot of craftsmanship and a lot of, you know, just, focus. It needs a lot of focus that, what you're working on, and like I said, the different surfaces that you get to work on requires a different kind of focus.
I think. And, just a quick question regarding like the commercial use of printmaking used to be quite common, as you said. Now with, unfortunately, AI art, which I'm not a big fan of, but with the dawn of the digital art age, I think in my opinion, it looks like creative printmakers are becoming much more rare, and the practice itself is becoming something much more attuned to an art form that isn't generally practiced by individuals in industry.
I would agree. To some extent, just that how rare it is because of how fast things are, how fast the digital world evolves, right? And so I feel like people, you know, to go back to your question, people are in contact with some sort of printmaking still. Mm-hmm. And that those processes are becoming less as it kind of as the digital world starts to kind of intrude into the process itself.
And that's really, you know, unfortunate.
And that yeah that's unfortunate. But it, you know, it's like, you know, like this exhibition, you know, the title of that is, you know, resilience, and we just have to keep doing it, right? Mm-hmm. We just have to keep teaching it, and so it kind of to establish the presence of that, you know. And so I feel like people can jump on that wagon of the evolution of AI art and all of that, but you tend to know, you know,
yeah.
when you're looking at prints and
there's something very, you know, human in it.
Yes, and just that way of thinking as well, right? That our thinking is very important rather than relying on a computer to help us.
Real quick question, when it comes to that and that human aspect, does your Navajo identity really shape the work that you create?
I do. Being Navajo, that was my first language, and it really informs a lot of what I do with my composing and with the color choices and with the mark making and with just how I do the process. It just my thinking in general, it really slows me down. And I still use a lot of the philosophies of the Navajo culture to kind of guide me as I'm making art.
And I love how you said it. That was my first language. And that could be taken in not only speech, but in the artistic form. Your first language. It's beautiful. That was beautiful.
It's the same, it's the same thing. And I feel like language is really powerful, and it has, as we're taught through the Navajo philosophy, language has power, and that power generates and regenerates, right, ideas.
Absolutely.
Within our culture. It becomes a very important thing. It becomes a way for us to communicate in a lot of different ways, right? And, the language extends to how we move and how we kind of listening, listening to the wind and listening to the air and to the plants and to the river, and that was a really beautiful thing. That experience alone for me being at UCross, that was really important because, we get so consumed with, surviving day to day in our big cities and, our routine, right, to going to school and teaching class and all of that. But I think, that for me was a big benefit of UCross. It was like it reconnected me with just going out and, taking a break from the studio and just listening to the land. And you guys were talking about like the snow and it's there for a little bit, all of that to me is, plays a major part. And that to me is a language that I grew up with. Right.
What is is that really the core purpose of this expedition? And what are you hoping to explore through it?
The exhibition, I think for me, the title of it is resilience, and that resilience, I'm just kind of pointing out that, the artists who are involved in this exhibition, they have all come, they're all indigenous. These five artists are indigenous, and I was thinking about it in the way of the survival in a way, some of the decisions that their family members had to make. And it's through art that we feel the strongest connection to our culture and through our cultures. We have five different artists who represent five different tribal nations, maybe even six tribal nations, because they're, and it's a way for us to stay connected to these teachings that have been passed down. Some of it is a lot, and some of it is very little. And that's a way for us to kind of stay connected to that knowledge.
Who are the other artists that are showing out there now?
We have a sculptor whose name is Gina Herrera. She's Tusuki and Costa Rican. Wade Patton, who's Lakota. Sarah Ortegon. She is Shoshone and Northern Arapaho. And Annette, I'm sorry, I forget her last name, but she is Eastern Cherokee.
Annette Sasnook Clapsaddle, sorry about that.
Clapsaddle, yes. I'm sorry, Clapsaddle, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so, you know, those are five different languages and five different ways of communicating through their art form.
Absolutely. I got to take a quick commercial break, sir.
Okay.
We're going to have more with the UCross Artist Residency and Professor Marwin Begay right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Wednesday, April 8th, the 52nd annual Pass Creek Angus Ranch production sale at the ranch just south of Wyola. 65 yearling and 32 fall Angus bulls sell out of sires like EB Clarity and Magnitude. 9 stout 2-year-old bulls and 25 open commercial heifers sell. Pass Creek breeds low-maintenance cattle that muscle up with quality carcasses. High performance to heifers, a bull in this sale for everyone. Videos with Frontier Live Sale. 52nd annual Pass Creek Angus Ranch bull sale, April 8th, Wyola, PassCreekAngus.com.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Here's a fun fact. You're likely within 5 miles of your nearest H&R Block right now. That means you never have to go out of your way to get your taxes out of the way. File with the confidence and convenience you deserve this tax season with the original tax experts at H&R Block. Visit the office at 1307 Coffeine or call 307-672-9787.
This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of the Ligursky Sausage Lunch.
In a world where honor is earned in the arena, the Knights of Valor return once more. On July 25th, the Sharon County Fairgrounds will transform into a battleground of courage, the class of steel, thundering hooves, and a full day of Renaissance fun for the whole family. Prepare for heart-pounding jousts, heroic feats, and a day steeped in legendary adventure. Tickets go on sale May 1st. Save the date and witness the return of the Tournament of Knights.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with UCross Artist Residency Communications Associate, Emmy Whiting, and by phone, University of Oklahoma Professor Marwin Begay. Now, this morning, we're discussing the exhibition, Resilience, which is currently on display at the UCross Art Gallery. This is available to visit until May 15th. Folks, this is five different indigenous nations coming together to show you their language. Professor, I'm running out of time with you guys, but there is something that I would love to ask you, and that is, how does the idea of cultural resilience tie into the goals of this expedition?
The goals, when we first started organizing the exhibition, I was trying to look for something that was common, you know, some sort of thing that would tie all the artists together, like a theme, right? Because there are five distinct art forms. And, you know, and for me, it was kind of natural to look for something that we could all identify with. And, you know, and I was looking at, I was thinking about the history part of it, like the history in the decision making that their families made in order to survive, you know, and to survive such a drastic change to our environment throughout history, right? And so, you know, that's how I came up with the idea of resilience. And when I was speaking to the artist, you know, I posed that question of, you know, what kind of artwork do you have that would reflect resilience? And each of the artists, you know, submitted work that reflected that. And when we kind of visited about what they were making, and some of the art was very specific to this exhibition, just to the theme. And some of the artists already had, were already working within like the idea of the theme. So, you know, as a goal, you know, that was my main goal, is to try to get the artist to either respond or to look at their work in a different manner, you know. And so when we started to put together the exhibition, and it came together really beautifully, it reflects that idea of survival. It reflects those ideas that the history that their families have gone through, so that would allow us to make artwork,
real quick,
become artists, right?
I'm running out of time with you.
Okay.
Emmy, can you walk us through the events that will be happening on Friday, April 17th, right up here at Sheridan College, and what people can expect from the artist talk, being able to actually hear from the artists themselves?
So we'll actually have two events on Friday, April 17th. One will be at the college at 11 a.m. at Kittinson Hall, and the other one will be at 6 p.m., a reception at the gallery, at the UCross Gallery. So you can actually see all the work there. For the artist talk, all of the featured artists are coming out, including Marwin, wow, who is the curator of the show, but also has some pieces, which we call the curator's quarter. So you can see some of Marwin's prints as well. And they will be just discussing their artwork, creative process, and all of that at the college. So.
That's fascinating. That's always my favorite part, to sit and speak with an artist about their work. The process itself absolutely fascinates me. Can you tell us a little bit about the evening reception out at UCross Art Gallery and what that's going to include?
So that's going to include the opportunity to meet and discuss with the featured artists, because they'll all be there. We'll have a curator's talk by Marwin. And then we'll also have refreshments done by the UCross culinary team, which is Jackie Vitale and Kat Connors.
I've tasted it. She's amazing. She's amazing.
And you'll also be able to see the artwork out there. And I will say, obviously, like I haven't been there that long, but I do love this show. And also there will be a collaborative live performance by Sarah, Marwin, and Annette. They're all collaborating in a live performance.
Oh, wow.
And what that will include is a large-scale print being made by Sarah's performance with Annette's poetry.
That's amazing. People can actually see the process happen right,
yes,
in front of them.
Yep.
That is so cool. Now, do people need to register for this, or can they just come out and attend?
So it is free and open to the public with required registration. Like I said, free though. So please come out. All you have to do is visit ucross.org and just visit the event page and it'll be on there.
How important is it to UCross to put artists in the forefront like this and really show this kind of determination within their work?
We are very committed to championing our artists, and especially with our UCross Fellowship for Native American Artists, which all of these artists are part of. Marwin was a UCross Fellow, I believe, before then. Correct, Marwin?
Yes.
So when we created this, it's just for Native American artists, and they come from all over the country, and I think it's just a community that really needs their artwork highlighted.
Yeah.
Because it's been erased so often.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Professor, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to speak with us this morning. I'm really looking forward to this event. I'm really looking forward to seeing your work, sir. Thank you so much. Emmy, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to actually come in and speak with us today. I love you, UCross. I love having you guys on the show. The more, the better. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
When we return, we're going to speak with Sheridan College Professor of Dance, Stephanie Koltiska. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. At 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
The rodeo is part of who we are. It's our history, our identity. But boy, this is not your granddaddy's rodeo anymore. The YO is bigger, better, and bolder. Larger purses, tougher competition, and a whole lot of family fun. Come for the world champion Indian relay races, high-stakes PRCA action, and a warm welcome unlike anywhere else in the world. Get your tickets at SheridanYORodeo.com.
Looking for a place that has something for everyone? Smith Alley Brewing, right in downtown Sheridan, combines great food, quality drinks, and family-friendly fun. Kids can enjoy the arcade, you can challenge friends at the pool table, and catch every big play on their giant 70-inch and 90-inch TVs. Savor their new menu and family-friendly pricing in a welcoming, comfortable space for the whole family. Visit Smith Alley Brewing in downtown Sheridan. Right up your alley.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, one of Sheridan's most popular restaurants. Does catering?
Tommy, hi. If you want to mix things up from the usual catering lineup, we're bringing something fresh your group will actually get excited about.
You got my attention.
Think our insanely popular orange chicken, grilled steak or chicken, tofu, fresh veggies, and gluten-free options made hot and fresh just for your crew.
That's a big upgrade from the usual.
And reach out to me before you place your order and you'll get free setup and delivery.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness Catering.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Best Real Estate Team. It is my pleasure to welcome an awesome new agent to Best, Penny Reddy. Welcome, Penny.
Thanks, Jill. I am super excited to be part of the Best team. I was born and raised in Wyoming. I come from a strong background of ranching, rodeo, hunting, and fishing in Wyoming's great outdoors. I do believe in strong community involvement, family values, and positive growth in our communities. And I am committed to serving my clients with honesty, hard work, and a genuine care for your needs and goals and helping you find not just a house, but the best place to call home. Give me a call today at 675-BEST or go online at bestwy.net.
Flood insurance is one of those things most people don't think about until it's too late. And then by then, the damage is done. What many homeowners don't realize is that standard policies don't cover flood damage, even when it's caused by heavy rain, snowmelt, or water that comes from places you wouldn't expect. They take the time to help you understand your actual risk and walk you through flood coverage options that make sense for your home and your location, not just a one-size-fits-all policy. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Stop by or request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. We have a day of art and performance here at Public Pulse because for our second part this morning, we're joined by Sheridan College Professor of Dance, Stephanie Koltiska. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And during the break, we were having a discussion about first languages, and my daughter is currently studying art history, and so I've had some pretty fascinating discussions with her. Dance. Mm-hmm. Dance, more than likely, our first language to each other.
Absolutely.
The first expression of art.
The first way we learned how to communicate
with
one another. Yeah.
And I just don't think that people really think about that.
No, I don't. I don't think that they do either. I also think that people don't spend enough time trying to embody how they feel. We get very almost closed off. And we forget that a form of expression is really moving your body.
Yeah.
It helps us process information. It helps us process past traumas. It's just a really healthy thing to do for yourself. They're also starting to show that in like neuroscience, it helps with fighting off dementia for older adults. So if you start to move your body, listen to music that was from an era that you really remember, just starting to be in your body and allowing yourself to move can actually help strengthen the brain and fight off dementia. There's all kinds of beautiful things about dance.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So many of us walk through life guarded against everything. You think about people in a crowd and how most of us react in a crowd. We're pulling in tight.
Yep, tighten up.
We're trying to get down here, be unnoticed or get by our day. I just want to go to work. Just want to get this done. Our body reflects that. How often are you in crowds and you're looking at folks and you're like, just open up, just breathe.
I am somebody who is extremely self-aware of my own space. I try not to be in crowds because I like to be able to breathe and move. I do find myself a lot reading body language and seeing how closed off people become, almost nervous, you know, instead of being able to have that long, tall spine and walk through a crowd and feel present. But I've gotten good at reading body language, sometimes a little too good. I think I try to overanalyze my students sometimes how you really feel bad today, don't you? You know, so there's a good and bad to that. But I do think it's good for people to start to recognize that body language is a form of dance, right? So like how people stand tells a lot about how they're feeling. So how can you respond to that? Hopefully with kindness, but, you know, some sort of giving yourself space and freedom to put on some music and just move in your own space is really good for you.
And nonverbal communication, something that every communications student studies, but I just don't think that we give enough thought to it.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time talking about how to communicate through means other than speaking and writing. It's actually a really important component at Sheridan College, and that's really what I focus on in my area. How can you communicate without words?
Yeah.
How can you communicate without writing? Well, let's figure it out when we use our body to tell stories. We use our body to process. And just how that art form really can help us in so many ways.
And you've performed all over the world. So has there been moments where you've consciously thought, okay, I want to convey this. I'm going to move this way while you were on stage?
Absolutely. I think that in the choreographers that I have been lucky enough to work with, they've allowed me to kind of experience that and they've helped bring that out in me. I think different shows, of course, you follow the director's orders in terms of like what's going to happen, right? And what you're supposed to convey on stage. And now that I'm back here in Sheridan, it's been really fun to kind of come up with ideas on how to bring that out in students here and they can continue their training with me. And this idea of how can we tell a story? How can we convey this emotion that we want to share on stage? So I think that my experience, I'm trying to bring that here and then expand upon it in a way that's right for our community and our group of students.
As someone who has kind of worked in the industry, and then you know now you're teaching the next generations how to do it. How often do they kind of pull you aside and just really search for that information from you? I mean, and maybe not even so much breaking into the industry to be successful, but how do I be successful for me so that I feel that I'm conveying the right message or doing the right thing? I
mean,
maybe right isn't the correct word, but in a way that they can hear me.
Yeah. I have a handful that definitely pull me aside and have a ton of questions and thoughts and want to dig a little bit deeper. I think I try to really hold a class that feels like a safe space for everyone to already start investigating that in themselves from the get-go. So there are students that are really clear about what their path is going to be next. And so, yes, we have conversations about what the next step should look like. And I do everything I can to help connect them because the dance world's small. So I still have connections all over the place. So helping those students get there if they want that. But I think more than anything, just trying to create a safe space in my studio where people feel free to start to explore that and not to tear away any of the training that they're coming in with. But then turning that focus from impressing somebody else into, I'm doing this for me now. And what does that feel like? Instead of showing me something, I would like to help draw out what is already inside of each of them.
What a fantastic way to put that.
Because, I'm lucky.
Yeah. I mean, but it really is. We're so self-conscious within our society. It's got to be pretty difficult those first few days of any dance class.
Yeah.
Trying to get them, hey, guys, come on. Open up.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking. I can only imagine what it feels like, especially when I have dancers that have danced since they were 2 years old in my space. And then here I have a theater student that just really wants to learn a little bit more about being more embodied. And so from the get-go, it's this mixed group of students that I just absolutely adore. And it's community as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think we actually talked about this just the other day. We get so much from each other. I think sometimes like the community members of the theater students feel like they're the ones that are getting great information from the dancers that have strong background. But it's actually the other way around. I think the dancers sometimes, they quiet their minds enough and realize that these people that don't have a background in dance are really finding something that's deeper because they don't have a predisposed idea of what the shape, I guess you could say, is supposed to look like. And so there's just beautiful collaboration in those classes. That's a mixed group of people. And I love it.
That's got to be great. It's fun to see.
Yeah.
And how is the momentum of the students and the class right now?
Wonderful. I mean, I have such a great group of students. I always feel so lucky. I honestly feel like I'm never sure what my group is going to look like. And this year, it's just a beautiful group of students that, have really come together to create a really unique show for the spring showcase.
And that's kind of what I want to touch on. Telling a story through dance. You and I've talked about a couple different performances over the years. I've been able to witness a few, and that's the idea. Telling a story through movement without words.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And something, one reason why I wanted to talk about what we were talking about on the break is it was our first language to tell those stories. So tell me about a moment in time.
Yeah.
What inspired this?
Well, so I titled the show A Moment in Time, and that was kind of almost, I don't even know if the students know that I titled the show that. when we started this, I was like, you know what? I always have an underlying theme for my shows and really want to tell a story. This show started out as, you know what, you guys, let's just create dance for dance sake. Let's have some fun and let's see what happens. And as time went on, it really started to reveal itself. There's stories about friendship that really unfolded. There's this beautiful duet that's actually like a true story of two girls that are best friends. And then we started to talk about these like mundane moments in life, maybe your morning routine, and how that's actually a dance. So we started to realize these moments in time in our life, we can look at all of those moments and find beautiful things, even in the mundane. So this show is really just like these beautiful, fun, powerful moments of hopefulness and light. There's a lot of tenderness that happens. There is, I don't know, there's just a lot of connection that I'm really proud of. I'm so proud of what they brought to the table. Without their energy to it, this show would not be what it is. But it turned into this idea of moments in time and reminding us that we are all connected and we all have these relationships. And if we can find the beauty in those small moments and keep those memories, come back to those memories when you need them the most.
And it's so human.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about all the work that goes into this, all the study, all of the emotional power that dancers put into a performance and how guarded so many of us are in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you were trying to make that connection with someone who does have up all these walls.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe even a little bit of self-consciousness, even though they might not realize that's what mm-hmm. it is. How do you do that?
Well, I want to jump to a piece in this show that I think kind of answers this question. So Sabrina Culp is a great friend of mine, but she also graduated my program. And we decided to collaborate on a piece this year, and it's called Chance Dance. And Chance Dance was a term that was coined by the late Merce Cunningham. And it really was this roll of the dice. Dancers know certain phrases. You don't know what you're going to perform. We're going to let you know the night of the show. So Sabrina and I, this is how we tried to kind of break those walls down a little bit. We decided we were going to come up with a narrative. We decided morning routine. We're going to separate the group and we're going to separate ourselves. And we're going to come up with a morning routine, our order of how we wake up and walk out the door. So we took these very gestural things and we just made everyone learn a million different phrases. We made them create their own. We didn't give anyone time to think. And then we decided to roll the dice and take a chance. And so her and I collaborated on this piece that we had no idea if it was going to fail or not. But it was a lot of fun in the process. It was crazy to remember. But I think that was a good first step, especially for like the theater majors that are in my group that have a little less of that dance background. We were like, don't worry about the dance. You show me what you do when you wake up in the morning and through movement. Can you show me that you get out of bed and put your socks on first? And so we have this really fun chance dance that people are going to see that we don't really know what's going to happen.
How incredible is that?
It's a lot of fun to watch. We did set some things in the end, but I think that's how we tried, in my mind, that Sabrina, I was so grateful to collaborate with her. How fun to have a student come back and collaborate, right? But it was really fun to watch everybody sort of try to figure out what we were trying to do because we didn't know either.
I think that in itself is just absolutely groundbreaking because you do have to overcome so many different things to really get out there and especially in front of an audience.
Absolutely.
Open up and express yourself in this way without words and being able to convey the ideas, but at the same time look comfortable doing.
Yep.
And so the idea to take something that is so routine to all of us and then combine that, you're going to remember what you do in the morning. Now turn it into a dance.
Yeah.
That it's just a fun activity in itself, let alone such a true, almost philosophical process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To learning how to do those things. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. How long did that take you guys to come up with?
We worked on it once a week for only about an hour. This one was, we wanted it to be raw and in the moment. And it's really turned into a fun piece. We told the students this could fail, but we're going to go for it anyway. We're going to see what happens. We're going to experiment and we're going to go for it. So this piece in particular is, I don't know, just sort of sets the tone for like those mundane moments and how they can become something that's a little bit more meaningful, maybe. Yeah. And we sort of ended with this idea of when they leave the space, how do you want to leave and enter the day? And so that's sort of they choose when they're ready to enter and leave. So it's they've lots of choice throughout the piece, and it's pretty fun. And it's been fun to collaborate with Sabrina. She's amazing.
And how often do dancers get an opportunity to develop something so organic in your experience?
Well, with me, I try often because I do love the collaborative feel. So students do give me ideas and information. When they have ideas pop in their mind, I always give students credit in the program because their voices are heard often. So yes, my name is on there as a choreographer for most pieces. But if students collaborated with me, their names are on there because we had a lot of back and forth in the other pieces that are in the show. And that's super important to me. And then I had four dance majors that I actually took to Denver in fall semester, and I hired Brandon Welsh. He came about a year ago. He's a wonderful choreographer that's based in Denver, and he set an original piece on four of my dance majors that we sort of intertwined into this show. So it's not just Stephanie choreography. It's really a mix of different voices, and it's turned into a really fun evening, I hope.
That's amazing. When and where can we see this?
So this show is happening this Friday, so April 10th. It's at 7 p.m. It is free and open to the public. It's at Sheridan College, so Whitney Center for the Arts in the Kennison Hall.
This is fantastic. Folks, what an excellent opportunity to get in there and see something so unique, even in the world of dance. This is a date night.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like to me. Yes, this is a fantastic opportunity to grab the one you love, head on over there, and really see something very, very rare. You know, such, and again, it's just my fascination with the idea of combining something just so mundane.
Yeah.
And then you make it something absolutely beautiful. Yeah. That's amazing. What's coming up down the line that you can see and then share with us? Anything? For
at Sheridan College?
Yeah.
So the Sheridan College Theater Department, their production is the following week. And I believe Dr. Lauren Graffin Estrada is going to come in and share that information with you guys. I don't have those dates in front of me, but she's doing an incredible show that I cannot wait to see. She always picks things that are just amazing. The theater department shows are at the YO Theater, so make sure to check those out for us. There's lots of stuff happening at WCA. It's a busy month for art. So check out Whitney Center for the Arts for all of the upcoming events and the YO Theater for everything they have coming.
Stephanie, I love having you on every single time.
Thank you. I love being here.
You expand the way I look at movement and the way I think about even just how I exist within the space that is me.
I love it. Thank you for saying
Thank you. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
This is Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
And I'm Nicole Pierce. Buying a home just got more affordable.
With the Mortgage Rate Relief Program, qualified buyers may receive an interest rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean lower monthly payments on your primary residence.
If your household income qualifies, we'll walk you through everything.
Call us for all the details at First Federal Bank and Trust or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, helping you get home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Before there was a Frackleton's restaurant, this building was home to Dr. Frackleton, the sagebrush dentist who patched up cowboys, Native American chiefs, and anybody tough enough to sit still. No frills, no shortcuts, just steady hands and work done right. That same Frackleton spirit lives on today. Good food prepared with care, well-poured drinks, friendly service, and world-class cuisine. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Come see our office supply department where we have over 16 chairs in stock and ready for your home or office, and they're all on sale. From office desk chairs to gaming chairs in a variety of styles, features, and sizes. Not only will you find a great selection of office chairs, we have the staples for your stapler and the paper for your printer. A great selection of pens, pencils, and markers. Need office supplies? You can shop at SheridanCommercial.com or here at 303 Broadway, 7 days a week.
The Valencia Barrington Project is a rare ensemble dedicated to reviving the beautiful and unusual sound of the Barrington, an 18th century instrument that combines the warmth of a viola with sympathetic strings that resonate beneath the melody, creating a sound unlike anything most audiences have heard before. Enjoy this extraordinary evening of chamber music, Tuesday, April 14th at 7 p.m. in the intimate listening environment of the Wild Theater's Tandem Hall. Seating is extremely limited in this unique space, so reserve your tickets today at the Wild box office or online at wildtheater.com. The Valencia Barrington Project, Tuesday, April 14th.
Have you been thinking about getting a pet? This is Mandy Koltuska with Century 21 BHJ inviting you to take the Which Shelter Pet Should You Adopt quiz. The answer you get will feature an animal that's currently up for adoption at the dog and cat shelter. Take the quiz now and you'll be entered for a chance to win $200 in chamber bucks.
Which shelter pet should you adopt? Take the quiz at SheridanMedia.com, presented by Mandy Koltuska at Century 21 BHJ.